You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage, heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, hit it!
Yeehaw!
Hey, it's Saturday morning, and you know what that means. It's Dave's Corner Garage, coming to you live and somewhat clear in beautiful, beautiful downtown Toronto. Today we have another significant show. I got to say, it's significant.
A big one. A big show.
That's a big word.
A really big show.
We have John Carmichael with us. John is actually the CEO of OMVIC, Ontario Motor Vehicle Industry Council. He's been involved with OMVIC more decades than I can shake a stick at. How's that sound, John?
That's good. I like it.
Anyways, and we're going to be joined by Mike Wilson from Lant Insurance. The Highway 11 Cruisers, that's almost 600 high-end sports cars, collector cars, you name it, is on tomorrow. And Mike's going to call in and talk about that. And I was reminded this morning by John that the Concours d'Elegance up at Cobble Beach is on today. That's your friend, right?
Yeah, Rob McLeese, today and tomorrow.
Yeah. So they're going to do that. They're going to actually give you lessons on how to get into the classic car business and buying and selling those vehicles.
Well, it's easy. You got to get a whole lot of money first.
Money is a good thing. And a big, 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 big reminder that we have a contest.
How big is it?
It is big.
Really big. Right here.
The dealer always just say huge.
Senor, where are we going?
Mayan Riviera. We're going to fly down, return Mayan Riviera by your hotel room, let you get some sun, and you can do that in the winter. We're going to announce the contest winner in October.
And you're throwing in a free bottle of Kaopectate, you said?
I can do that.
All right.
And what else are you giving away?
And second prize is a set of Saillant tires for the winter, plus we're going to be giving you a Crown Rust Proofing for third prize, and want to set those thick, beautiful, water-resistant floor mats. You still have some, right?
No, Steve took them.
Steve took them. Okay, they're in his apartment. Anyways, that's the show. We're ready to go. Steve, take us out.
Oh, take us out. Does this mean literally take you out?
Go right ahead.
Oh, this won't hurt. Dave'sCornerGarage.com. That's the website. You can listen to us on that and stream us as well. And, of course, go to the website and register that little big red button that even Dave can see to register for the show and the contest. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back with John Carmichael from OMVIC, Alan Gelman, and Dave Redinger in a brand new shirt from Walmart.
Alrighty, Steve.
Dave, yeah. Al, John.
Yo. Caesars. Let me open up the toolbox.
Caesars are here. Coffee's here. Off you go.
John Carmichael is no stranger to the car industry. I used to listen to his commercials for City Buick Pontiac.
Keep it up.
It's a long time back when ago. I was a kid, right?
Oh, is that what you're going to do to me?
Okay, here we go. Your family's been in the business, since 1912?
1955, actually.
It's a dealership business.
The dealership business goes back prior to us to about 1921, 22, something like that. Yeah, long time ago.
So you're brought up in the business, and you have seen both sides of this equation.
Yeah, no, I joined my dad in the business in 1974-5 after university and stayed in it till 2009.
Interesting, and then it went to your son.
Then my son took it, yeah, and he's enjoyed the business as well. He was born in 1977, and says that was his first day of employment in the dealership.
Alrighty, and you actually were involved in the beginning of OMVIC.
I was, yes. I was appointed by the government of the day as the founding chair of OMVIC in 1996. Mm-hmm. The board was established in 97, and it's been doing good work ever since.
Now, that grew out of the Used Car Dealers Act.
Motor Vehicle Dealer Act,
yeah.
Actually, and it was the government's intention at that time to take an industry that needed focus and give it to the people who know how to run it. And so it was the first self-management or industry self-management organization that was established. And today there's a number of them, but the car business is still running strong and doing great work.
Well, that was kind of politically correct. They needed focus. I like the way you put that. You mean they had to rustle up the bad guys?
No, those were my years in Ottawa that taught me that.
Well, it needed cleaning up. I mean, remember the Danforth Avenue and all the dealerships down back and forth on Danforth, and it was a zoo.
That was the Wild West.
Well, it was the Wild West in those days, and that's back to the 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. But the objective of OMVIC, as you know, it was originally structured as a consumer protection agency, and the whole goal was to also bring a higher level of professionalism to the industry.
Right.
Right.
Which I think, you know, when I look at our education budget today and a lot of what we do in terms of working with dealers and advertising and whatnot, that's still a major pillar of what our business is all about.
Yeah, I remember the guy says, "How many miles do you want?" And he's, "How many miles of the car? How many miles do you want?"
Well, it's, right? You know, it's a real issue. But fortunately, we've taken that and been able to really clamp down on that type of behavior. And we've got a really good industry today.
Well, would you say the focus was primarily on used cars, and has it changed at all?
It's both new and used. Mm-hmm. Our two stakeholders are the Used Car Dealer Association. And they're very involved and knowledgeable folks who work with predominantly their community of, mm-hmm. of used car dealers right. across the province. And then the TADA manages the relationship with the new car dealers. So all in all, we have 8,000 registered dealers in the province of Ontario and some 30,000 sales reps.
The last little while, you've been focusing on all-in pricing as you know, something to pay attention to. Is that both new and used cars?
Yes, it is. Yeah. If you're going to advertise a car mm-hmm. in the newspaper, online, mirror hanger,
right?
You are, or on TV, in fact, as a dealer,
right?
The only additional number you can add to your price of that car is HST and license.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else has to be included in the price. And it's an area that was made law in 2010, if you can believe it.
Right. Wow.
8 years ago, it became law, and this province established that as part of the going forward operational stuff.
Well, I think what a lot of people have found is, you know, like you say, they get to the dealership and there was an advertised price, but then all of a sudden there was all kinds of admin charges and other kinds of, you know, less than honest
fluff. Well, exactly.
It's added to it.
So if you're going to add any of those items, mm-hmm. they have to be added before that price. And if you're going to advertise that price, you have to show that with those prices, all those additionals included.
So here's a question for you. They advertise this vehicle and you get down there, but it's not available. I mean, I'm sorry, but that car is not available. I can offer you this car. Isn't that the same bait and switch as the old ways?
Well, and you've got to watch for that. Certainly, the question is, and it should be pretty explicit on the way into the dealership, is it on its way? Is it in shipping? Have I ordered that car, and is it available at that price?
So, you know, what happens is the difference between the manufacturer's ad and the dealership ad, the manufacturer says Honda Civics at from 16,000 something, but you go down there and you can't find a manual transmission with no air conditioning. It's just not available.
So manufacturing ads are not part of our purview. That we don't regulate the manufacturers. We work with them. We try to get them to work with us in terms of pricing, and we have some manufacturers, as you know, that will work with us. Will call us and say, "Here's what we're working on. We're doing a promotion. All our dealers are going to be engaged in this, and we'll be advertising." And so we work with manufacturers where they'll work with us. But generally speaking, we work with dealers and advise them on how to meet compliance.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
So, how does somebody know what, you know, what identifying feature would be from between that ad and going down to the store to see where the car is?
Well, you've got to see what's included in the car in the ad, and it should list all of the options mm-hmm. or additional fees and charges. And certainly when you go into the dealership, as you know, we've just introduced a whole new advertising campaign called Take a Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And our objective is take a picture of the ad, take a picture of the screenshot on the website, and take that in with you and make sure that that car is what you expect it to be. And if it's not, then challenge the dealer or challenge the sales rep to produce the car or help you to understand what's included or not. It does two things. It empowers consumers, which is a big part of what we believe in doing, to have the tools to go into the dealership knowledgeable and comfortable in what they're buying. And it also helps the dealer because it reduces contention or disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And most dealers that I've talked to have said, this is great. I love it.
Perfect. Okay.
If you're in the market to maybe look at a car for this weekend or online, this is the chance. If you got any questions at all, John Carmichael is with us for the entire hour from Ombic. And we'll take your callers about calls about what your car is going to do as you get ready for that word that starts with W. Ooh. So give us a call. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Yeah, wash that shirt with your winter clothes. Well, it's unfortunate you can't see this on TV or radio.
What's that?
Dave and Al were going to put their sombreros on to get ready for it. We want you to get ready for a chance to win a trip to two to Mexico, to Mayan Riviera. Just go on to davescornergarage.com, enter, hit the big red button, and you could be on your way. And we're going to go on your way to the phones to take some calls right now.
Yes, we're going to talk to Linda in beautiful downtown Georgetown. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great.
Problem with your car?
Yeah.
Well, I have a 2007 Buick,
mm-hmm.
and it's now going to be 12 years old. I had a 98 Buick, and when it was 12 years old, all of a sudden, the transmission quit. Just quit, and...
That's it. I'm out of here.
So you're expecting this one to go, too, any day?
Well, the other day when I was driving it, I had stopped at a stoplight. There were no other cars around me, and when I went to go, it gave a great big jerk. And so now I'm a little bit anxious about it, and I wonder, should I have it serviced at a transmission dealer or just drive it? Or
no, for sure don't just drive it, okay? It needs attention. I mean, you felt the jerk. It may, in fact, be from the transmission, but it may just be a small fix. It could be, for example, that the fluid is very low because it's developed a small leak, okay? And that in itself wouldn't be a big fix.
I had that checked.
Okay, and they've checked the fluid level and it's full?
It was just somebody who you know, could check oil and stuff like that. It wasn't I didn't take it to a garage.
Question for you, how many miles are on this vehicle?
124,000.
That's not high. That's actually very low for that age of car.
That's it, yeah, and their original, when I bought it off of a 3-year lease, it had about the 50,000.
Well, if the tranny goes, it's probably a $3,000 repair. Probably $3,000-$5,000. You'd have to make the decision, is it worthwhile investing the money in a 12-year-old car or time to move on? So my personal thing is take it to a tranny shop. We always recommend Mr. Transmission.
Yeah, because they do a free road test. They'll check your fluid level, and they'll take it around the block for you. That won't cost you at all. And he'll tell you what he feels the vehicle needs.
Yeah, and it's more than just checking the level. They smell it, first off, if there's any burning inside of it, and they'll put some of it on a white cloth to see if there's any material in there. It's more than just seeing how high the level is.
Right.
So get those guys to check it, listen to what they have to say, and then make your decision.
Right, because it may or may not even be the transmission.
Exactly. Okay, we have another call from Melody in Toronto, and she wants to talk about used cars delivery fees. Melody, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I listen to your show every week.
I love you. You're the one. Go ahead, Melody.
Okay, so I have a question. So I bought a used car a few months ago, and I'm helping my mother buy a used car in the next couple weeks. So here's my question. When I bought the car, it was on the lot, and on top of the sales tax and the licensing fee, on top of the advertised fee, they added several hundred dollars for a delivery fee, and I wasn't sure if that, you know, was supposed
kosher
to happen, or you know, if that should have been included in the all-included fee.
All right, great question, John.
Yeah, no, Melanie, thanks for the call, and absolutely not. That fee should be built into the price. If they've given you an all-in price, the only extra should be license and HST, period. And there shouldn't be any delivery fees on top of that.
Melanie, can I ask the question? Was it sold as is, or did you buy it fully certified and emission tested?
It was sold fully certified. It was from a large dealer in Toronto, so it was certified.
Yeah, so there should not have been any additional delivery fee.
No,
not on top of the advertised price.
Not if they're advertising an all-in price. If they're showing that price, that car with all the equipment on it and the extras that you wanted, the delivery fee should be built into that price. And the only extras, again, are license and HST.
Now, question, is it too late or could Melody go back, perhaps?
I'd be knocking on their door. Mm-hmm. She could certainly call us at OMVIC. If you call call in and register your complaint with the dealer's name and give us the details, we'll be glad to talk to the dealer and see what we can do to assist you on that.
Okay, great. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for listening. And it's, by the way, it's omvic.on.ca.
That's it.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you. I will do that.
What's the number in case people are listening right now, they want to get a hold? Oh, you don't know? Well, just go. Me too. I forget.
I never call.
I don't call myself.
That's what happens when you're over 50.
Al, I've heard other things that you do call yourself.
Probably, just quickly, I just want to add that, perhaps Melody's first call should be just to the dealer. To say, hey,
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, that'll save you.
Phone the dealer back. She knows what she bought. She
right.
knows what the ad was. And that way
it gets resolved much quicker.
Exactly. And this is where this Take a Picture campaign, which you just heard the ad, which was great, thank you. The picture shows the car, the price, and the only two extras that should be on top of that.
Great.
Thanks, John. We'll find out
more. If you get calls about you want to take some questions to John Carmichael from OMVIC. He's here for the entire hour. And there's a lot of interesting things going on out there that you may not be aware of that he can clear up. Stick around. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Buenos dias, senor, señorita. There he is wearing his Mayan Riviera t-shirt.
Yeah.
For the fourth. It's nice. It's
clean,
too.
I remember we were there. We went down to Mayan Riviera, and the guy in the bus says, first we go for the chicken, and then we go and get your rooms. And everybody's going, we ate dinner. He goes, no, we got to go for the chicken. So after the check-in, anyways, quickly just want to talk about Volkswagen has said now they will stop making the iconic Beetle next summer.
Well, they really stopped making the iconic Beetle about 20 years ago.
Right, 1979. You're absolutely right. You're a Volkswagen guy.
Well, yeah, and the one that replaced it, for kind of looking the same, was really the only connection. Yeah.
It was a Golf, right? So they're going to stop building this little car again.
Mm-hmm.
They started in 98, and they're going to stop it next year, so it has another, like, a 20-year run. So.
I think, you know what? They've run out of buyers. I mean, for the most part, I think it's been a nostalgic kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
Retro.
Fiat 500s and Minis. How many do you think they're going to sell before the older people are going to be died off? They're not going to be buying new cars
anymore.
And
you know what the problem also becomes is where do you go from retro? You can only build one. You can't retro the retro.
Right. And besides the fact that, again, a lot of people had issues with the car. It wasn't that great mechanically.
Remember, you couldn't get the tummy belts off the buggers. You had to
terrible.
Pull the motors. We have a question for John, and the question is, dealerships consolidation is happening, a lot of it. They're saying that over half of the vehicles sold right now are sold by groups of dealerships rather than those owned by individuals. Do you find that's a problem when you're dealing with companies?
No, whether it's an individual owner or it's a group, everybody wants to be in compliance with the laws and the regulations of the country and the province. And so, but it is without question a trend that is something we've seen in the last 10 years growing at an incredible rate.
Yes.
Now, I wonder, could that actually be a positive thing for the consumer? I mean, as a group, do they buy cars then cheaper than an individual dealer may?
No, they don't. They're not going to get any.
Oh, that was a great question.
it was a great question. They don't necessarily get an advantage from that perspective.
Okay.
But I think from a consumer benefit,
right.
Let's look at the brand and the investment in the brand and the brick and mortar that these dealers are putting up today, and they have tremendous investment and they don't want anything to go wrong in their stores. They want to play by the rules and make sure that they're in compliance with the laws.
Yeah, you look
at
$15-20 million in real estate.
It's
right?
huge, and you figure somebody who has 10, 20 stores, however many, Auto Canada certainly even bigger than that, And these guys take their investment very, very seriously. And so,
so you're
their
want to take care of people, especially nowadays, you know, with the social media, it's very easy for someone just to trash you. I mean,
absolutely.
You want to avoid that. Yeah, exactly.
You can't afford that.
Well, we're talking about Auto Canada. They're actually based in Edmonton.
Edmonton, yes.
Right? So do you find that because the head office is in Edmonton, you have to deal with them there, or do you deal with them, managers and stuff here?
Well, if it's an advertising issue, as an example, previous caller, we will go to the dealership right here and talk to the management.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in charge. They're registered locally in the province as the key people who we have to deal with. And so we'll be talking to them directly. And we would, if there was an issue, we would go and have a discussion with them.
Now, the other thing was, you buy the car, and now you're going to go to the F&I office or the business management office, and they arrange the financing. I was shocked when I found out that it's less than 1% of the market actually pays cash. Everybody else is financing one, either leasing or financing the purchase.
Will you walk around a joint with 30 grand in your pocket?
Well, you know, the old folks will do that.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that shopping bag you're carrying?
Well, yeah, and the F&I the F&I part of the business is obviously a very profitable part of a dealer's business today.
25% of the income.
And so the question I would ask, if I was a consumer buying a car today and I was going into an F&I office, I'd want to see all of the F&I quotes, and I'd ask the question of the dealer: How much are you getting in terms of
kickback,
a rebate from the from the banking
is?
Or finance institution?
There's discretion, and there's like, I'm a car guy.
But yes, that's correct, and they will say to you, "Why do you want to use your money? Pay off your big debts at high interest,
and
use our money."
But how many dealership programs through manufacturers in the new car side, for sure, are doing 0% financing today.
Yeah.
There's tremendous opportunity. So my question would be, if I'm buying a new or used car and I'm in the business office and I'm filling out my application, how many quotes are they getting from different financial institutions, and what's the range? Let me see the range,
because
I want to have input into that.
Is when they go and check your FICO score and all that other stuff, they can actually hurt your credit rating. You know, if they go 30 different companies, they can really every time they get a hit, it drops.
Well, I presume so. I'm not familiar with that part of it.
If you do it yourself. You can actually, when you go into a dealership, which I had the pleasure of doing a year and a half ago, you can say, no, you know what? I'll check my score. Because if you go
and bring it in.
Yeah, because otherwise it knocks it down 2% every time somebody else makes an inquiry.
Yeah.
And there's Equifax, who are still dealing with some challenges with being hacked. I mean, you got to be really careful when you get
into
scoring.
What's the other one? TransUnion. TransUnion.
If they put out four quotes,
you're down 10% almost.
Unbelievable.
On your credit rating score.
Yeah, so you got to watch.
Even Karma, which you see on TV all the time, you got to be really careful with that. We have found the number for Omvix. So that lady who was calling in about her mother's car, it's 416-226-4500. All right? That's the number to call for Omvix on Monday. All right?
Stick
around. We've got more calls to get to and your chance to win a trip for two to the Mayan Riviera.
Steve, forgot to tell you, Mike Wilson's coming on right now.
Mike Wilson's coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, there's going to be a break first.
It's right in front of your paperwork.
Hey,
nice.
Did you not hear the music? Hit the brakes. Okay. We got to stop. We're out of here.
And indeed, follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. There's some great stuff being posted throughout the entire week.
Yes.
One of them is with Omvig, which we have John Carmichael in for the entire hour. And we've got more calls to get to. But first, we're going to go out to Mike Wilson with Land Insurance. And he's at another event. How you doing, Mike?
Michael, you there?
I'm here. Good morning, guys.
Right. This guy's job is to go from event to event. His only problem is he's getting weight gain because of hot dogs, hamburgers, and all the fries he's eating.
It's a hard gig, I tell you guys.
So where are you this week, Mike? Mike, where are you at this week?
Oh, we lost him.
Mike's lost in space.
Yeah.
Maybe the hot dog went
I'll tell you.
All right, you know Mike what? So why don't we take a call, and then we'll get back to him.
Okay.
All righty?
We'll try and get a hold of Mike.
We've got Diane online, too. She's been hanging on for a little while. She's got a question about emission testing. Diane, what's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
My question is, other than an oil change, what can I do to make sure my car passes? It's in great shape so much for an 11-year-old car.
All right. Well, they've changed the whole system, Diane, first of all. The only real concern is your check engine light on the dashboard?
No.
Well, then you just passed. How's that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the old days, they actually did what they called a tailpipe test. Okay, you guys are looking at me funny. That's not what we're talking about.
No, right. No, we wouldn't say you were old.
Okay.
So in the past.
They would actually put a sniffer tube in your exhaust. That sounds gross, eh? Anyway, they don't do that anymore. The car's computer is smart enough, it monitors its own system. So if the check engine light is not on or not called for, because it could be on, but you can't see it. Anyways, another ball of grass. So you should pass automatically. So you don't have to do anything. Just go down at a place and say, I want my free emission test. It is free now as well. You're aware of that, are you?
No.
Guess what? It's free.
Oh, where do I go for that?
Anywhere.
If you've got a computer, just check Drive Clean. Just type in Drive Clean. But most Canadian tire stores are doing it. There's lots of other people out there.
Well, that's where I got it the last time.
Alrighty?
Yeah. Right. What used to happen is all these cars were passing. I mean, 95 to 98% of the vehicles passed. So the program actually did its job by getting rid of all the old clunkers, and now these new vehicles are so clean that they're computerized, and we plug into the computer and read what the computer's reading. So as long as the light is out,
you're going to pass. Yeah, all right, Diane, good luck. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
How'd you know that?
She needs an emission test. Oh. It comes up on your birthday. All right, we've got Mike back on the line. And
how much money is in my pocket?
Mike Wilson, where are you at this time?
Hey, how's it going, guys? We're in Gormley, Ontario this weekend. Highway 11 Cruisers season finale car show.
Mm-hmm.
Big do at the Gormley Go Station there.
Now, again, this is a fundraiser. Where's the money going this time?
So actually, the proceeds for this show go to the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of York region.
Mm-hmm.
Great charity. They do a lot with this organization. So Spectator, they get in for $10, and you can register your show vehicle for $10 as well. So, again, all that goes to the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of York.
Mike, Princess Margaret Hospital, Gilda's Club, and Sick Kids, also part of this group's charity drive.
Exactly. The Highway 11 Cruisers, they're based out of Newmarket, and they support a number of different charities, local charities, and some in the GTA, kind of spread out all over. But they're making waves in the hobby, that's for sure.
Where is the actual location if people are listening and want to come by?
Yeah, so the actual show is 1650 Stouffville Road in Richmond Hill, so it's the north side of Stouffville Road, one light west of the 404.
Now you're expecting what, 600 vehicles?
There's going to be about 600 cars, classics, customs, trucks, motorcycles. They've got 40 awards that they're actually handing out.
Wow.
Organizations are actually putting vehicles on display. York Region EMS, York Region Police, Richmond Hill Fire and Emergency Services. They're going to have stuff there on display. They're going to have a motorcycle dyno there, so bring your motorcycle. Let's strap it up and see what she does.
There you go, Dave. Take your motorcycle out there.
I gave it away.
They're going to have a motorcycle stunt rider demonstration as well, so lots going on. Food
Love
stuff
it.
As well. So,
And you guys will be there. Lant Insurance will have a tent.
You betcha. We're going to be the main attraction for the show.
There you go. So this is one that Lant is actually heavily involved in. And remember, if you have a classic car, Lant Insurance is the place to go.
Exactly.
Have a good weekend. Great. Mike, thanks for coming on the show with us. And get a couple hot dogs for Dave and Al and John.
Okay, we'll have a couple hamburgers and hot dogs.
Beautiful.
I have to watch my waist in the mirror.
You've been watching it for a while. It's falling. Okay. Have a good weekend. Take us out, Al.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got a car care question. We have a couple lines open. But Steve in Orangeville, we're going to get to you right after this break.
And just a reminder that if you are shopping for a car over the weekend, whether it's in Poisson or online, you can give OMVIC a call on Monday if you've got any inquiries. And the number here locally is 416-226-4500.
And especially if you're buying a used car and you want to find out who you maybe ought to try to avoid, you can go on the website and find out who the bad guys
are. Actually, they're listed, yes.
Yeah.
I was shocked to see how many disputes there were. Well, it's quite a few.
Yeah, you know, it's if there weren't disputes, there wouldn't be a place for OMVIC, would there?
Yeah, that's true, too.
And so we do our job in trying to make as much of that visible as possible, as transparent as possible.
A little bit of news here. The next big car manufacturer in cahoots with General Motors is Vietnam. The company's called VinFast. They've taken over the GM factory in Hanoi. I didn't even know GM had a factory. During the war, I bet you they didn't bomb that place. Anyways, they're going to be selling Chevys in Vietnam, and GM is going to be selling the VinFast vehicle, I guess, through their other dealerships. Good stuff.
So will their engines just be V8s or V6s?
No, they'll probably be the Ecotec or something like that, right?
You could have a little Vietnam humor there.
You could have had a V8 instead. You know?
Oh, I never thought of that.
I got it. I didn't get it.
Shh. Al, give him his pills.
And I thought VinFast, I thought it was like a diet supplement, you know? Seriously. Lose those extra pounds. No, shed that extra weight.
Going in for a colonoscopy? Use VinFast.
Oh.
And it's gone off the rails. Only took a half an hour.
Ford Recalls. Motor Company has announced a recall on the F-150, the most popular truck or vehicle in the world.
Yep.
Almost 400,000 of these vehicles will be recalled for seatbelt problems.
And the problem is that they can catch fire.
Yeah.
Really?
Speaking of fire, Toyota has recalled a million vehicles with regards to a possible fire risk. This includes all those hybrids and stuff like that. So
is business slow? That's why all the recalls come up?
No, it's because it's called platform building. They use the same part in 100 different types of cars. So, like, remember Takata airbags?
I never heard of them.
Takata was supplying everybody, right?
Right.
So now, actually, Takata went bankrupt. A Chinese company bought them, and so they're supplying the airbags. GM is recalling more than a million pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles. So they're talking about Sierra, Yukon, XLT, Cadillac Escalade.
That's the power steering failure?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the last few years, they've gone to electric power steering rather than the old hydraulic.
Yeah.
So if you're concerned about any of the recalls, you can go to Transport Canada's website or your individual manufacturers, and you're going to punch in your serial number, and it'll tell you exactly what programs.
Right. And the last one I got here is from my buddy George, who bought a Prius and is telling me how he spent 3 tablespoons of gas to go 300 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Not 192,000 Priuses are being recalled over a fire risk in the fire.
So that makes you happy, doesn't it?
Well, I can't understand why he spent $10,000 more for a car to save $3 in gas.
Can I slide in one more news item?
Yeah, go right ahead.
A new company called Carvana. All right. You can basically buy your car from your Chesterfield, or they still call it that, or a sofa. It's basically a vending machine.
It's a Davenport
industry. It's incredible.
Carvana?
Yeah, Carvana.com.
Let me turn the letter for you.
Not Nirvana, but Carvana.
Well, you know what they're saying is that the dealerships are going to disappear soon. They're saying because of the internet, and we were talking about that in the green room, that electric vehicles don't need much service, so why do you need a dealership?
I think we're going to see a lot of change, and certainly we're aware of numbers of new technologies, new selling cycles, new platforms that are coming to the market, and it's going to change the way we think. But I don't think it's overnight. I think this is 10, 15, 20 years away.
It's like when the horse and wagon was replaced by the car. It didn't happen overnight. It took about 20 years for that to actually happen.
There's still a place for dealerships, and they do good work.
There's still a place for horse and wagons.
You need that. And you need that connection.
But, you need horseshoes. A hell of a time finding a guy to do it. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Dave's Corner Garage, the last few minutes. We're going to take some calls right now. Over to you guys.
We're going to go up to Orangeville and speak to Steve. He's got a question for us. Steve, what can we do for you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for your call. I have a 2012 Terrain and 200,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I have no problem in transmission, but when do I need to change the oil? I have to change the oil because I cannot check it oil.
Right. What I would suggest is go by a transmission shop specifically and ask them to have a look at the tranny fluid.
Yeah.
Dave's usually saying that if it ain't broken, then leave
it
alone. You can't actually create a problem. But if fluid's not that bad and just a little bit dirty, it probably is a better idea to change it.
You know, it's funny. People use transmissions like light bulbs. They don't do anything on that. I've never seen really a lot of service on
until it breaks.
Yeah, it breaks, and then they're screaming.
Well, most people don't read the owner's manual, but some of them say that you don't need to. A lot of GMs have fluid that lasts forever.
We have a saying around here, which is RTFM, which is read the effing manual. So the reality is people don't read the manual. They just don't change the oil.
No, and if you want a car to last longer, then absolutely servicing it is the better idea.
You know, yes, exactly.
In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine at the transmission shop, and he said they are now equipped. This is the outside of the dealership. They are equipped to service and maintain the CVT transmissions, which a lot of people are going to now.
Interesting. So just as we're closing off the show, any final words you want to say?
No, thank you for having me. We're proud of what we're doing at OMVIC, and if anybody has a concern with either a transaction on a new car or used car, give us a call. We'd be happy to help, and look forward to coming back
now,
again.
Now, if you bought a car with a lien or something like that, that's your area that you have to look.
Absolutely. If when you buy a car today, you've got to do all your homework and make sure that if there's a lien on the car that you're trading in,
yes,
make sure that it's paid off at the time, because that debt can follow you if it's not properly cared for. Now, most dealers will go and pay it off, but as you know, we shut a dealer down in Sault Ste. Marie last year who was paying the liens for the consumer.
Yeah.
And it cost a lot of money to get that ended.
Interesting. Yeah. So liens is one issue. Too much equity, not enough equity in the trade. So in other words, owing way more money than you should actually than the car you bought.
Yeah, negative equity where you're funding, you're funding two cars.
Yeah,
and so that you've got to be careful of that. We always encourage people to really be careful with the debt they take on, mm-hmm. and know what you're spending. And the other issues when you're buying a new car or used car, was the car used as a daily rental or a taxi cab or a limousine? Those have to be declared. Was there any body damage? Make sure you get a car proof before you complete your transaction to see if there's been any damage on that car. And is there any major repairs that are required on the vehicle? And get your dealer to document that.
And the last thing is, if you don't buy it from a dealer, none of this means anything. You're on your own.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. We have a compensation fund. If you buy from a dealer and there's been something go hairy on that deal, the compensation fund is in a place to back you up.
Right. And if you bought the car from a donut shop, you're on your own.
You buy it off the internet or buy it privately, you've got to be careful.
But you can get a better deal.
It's buyer, you get a better deal, but it could last a couple of weeks.
And a lot of donuts will go by. And the cool thing about your new campaign with taking a picture of it, a screenshot, is it's got its timestamp on it, too.
Yes, it does.
So if you take it today at like a certain time, 10 o'clock in the morning, on Saturday, August, whatever date it is, September. What is the date today, Al?
I don't know.
1-5.
1-5. Yes, it's a historic day, probably. You can take it to a dealership, and you've got that timestamp there.
Well, you've got the timestamp. So it eliminates any debate about both the dealer and the consumer win on that.
Right. Exactly right. So it's all recorded. Everything is done.
So that call we had earlier, where there were extra charges on top of the license and HST, if there was a picture of that, she's got that. As proof of
Well, you know, purchase. I've seen it where it's actually part of the contract. It's printed into the contract.
Yep.
Dealer fees, $595. And I go...
Listen, as long as it's before, as the final price, and it's disclosed in advance, you can negotiate those fees. You can contest it. If it's part of your decision process and say, I'm not paying $595 for that, you know, but there may be a number I'm comfortable with, then talk to your dealer. Talk to the sales rep.
Yeah, I saw it in the States. They were charging $900 for air in the tires. And I'm going, huh? Well, the car's tires got nitrogen in it, and it's $900. I said, it's $5 a tire if you want to fill it. She goes, yeah, but if you go anywhere in the world, we'll pay for it.
That's when you ask for new floor mats, maybe some mirrors that actually work.
But, Steve, how many cars do you buy in your lifetime? Maybe 10?
They say seven. I think seven is the average, yeah.
Right? So the sales guy across the table, he's selling that many in a week.
He is, and I think it's, we want consumers to be better informed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another little tip is read the back of the contract. The fine print.
It's 3 feet long.
I know it's 3 feet long, and I hate reading it, but the reality is, and we'd love to see it simplified, but you've got to take time to read the highlights and make sure you know what you're buying.
John, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
John Carmichael, the CEO of OMVIC. It's omvic.on.ca if you want to get to the site. And it's davescornergarage.com if you want to enter the contest for the Mayan Riviera. Alan, thank you.
Sebastian. Remember that cheap can be very expensive.
Yeah, cheap.
Very good.
My father used to say, a cheap guy pays more. And I've always learned
Well, that's
that.
True, whether it's in a repair or buying it from some shady guy.
Exactly right. Sebastian, thank you. Alan, Stephen, thank you.
You're welcome,
and
David.
Remember, keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye,
everyone.
Thank you.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.